Hello, welcome to the Chess Boxing Podcast with me, the Grievous Bodily Farmer. Before we get into the podcast, we've got an announcement to make. We are putting on a show in 2 weeks' time. That's right, Sunday the 26th of July. We're putting on a show called LCB 36 Clash of Kings. There'll be no live audience at the show. It's the first time ever that a chess boxing show has been done for a pay-per-view audience. You can get your pay-per-view pass if you go to lcb36.com. And now we've got the second part of the interview with Matt Reed. Enjoy.
Yeah, so going back to it, you know, you get in the ring and all of a sudden you've got like this split personality. All of a sudden you can be a completely different person. I'm no longer Matt Reed, landlord, or Matt Reed, editor of chess magazine. I'm Matt Crazy Fucking Arms Reed.
Lazy Arms Reed, of course.
Yeah, or Lazy Arms, because, like I said, not the greatest boxer. And yeah, at that point, you know, the crowd responded. The first time I ever put my arms up to sort of say, come on, give us a bit of noise, they responded. And I guess I respond to them, they respond to me, and we've got this lovely symbiotic relationship. I'd love to know what sort of personality I'll be on the day that I put my hands up to sort of say, come on, get behind me, and I'm met with stony silence because they're all cheering for the other
happen.
Guy.
That will never happen. Yeah, it's basically, whenever I talk to anyone about chess boxing, they always say they love you and they like John the Brick. They're the two. I mean, they like everybody else, obviously Toto, and there's a lot of great characters, but for some reason, I think you seem to chime with people. They can empathize with you, I think. They think they could be that person.
Absolutely, because they go, my God, you know, he can do that. Maybe I can do that. And that there is that sort of element of it. You know, if you came out to the ring and you have, you know, 8-pack abs, you know, massive pec muscles, and you are literally the living embodiment of aggression, then I think, you know, okay, people will give you the respect that you sort of deserve for your physique and for your ability in the ring. But you can't really empathize. You can't really sort of say, actually, I can see a bit of myself in that chap. You know, the fact that he's absolutely knackered after the end of the round, and he just looks like this ought to be over. I'm going to cheer for him because he looks like he needs a cheer. And I do feel that, you know, when people see that I'm losing a bit of energy, in the same way that if you ever stand on the marathon course, you get a completely different experience if you stand at London Marathon Mile 5 as the London Marathon Mile 25, you see faces etched in pain, faces of death at that point. And at that point, you have nothing but sympathy. And the amount of shouting you do to sort of say, come on, only another mile, is a lot more than those guys that sort of steam past you at mile 5, all smiley and happy. So I guess maybe I elicit sympathy.
So how many bouts have you had now? God. Don't make it up.
Seriously. It is 20. It would have been 21.
No,
it would have been 21. But I didn't fight on the last one because we had COVID just about kicking in. We weren't quite in lockdown. We were bloody lucky. We were 2 weeks away from proper lockdown. People were getting a little bit nervous of going out, but we did our usual sellout, and I wasn't there actually, because the background was that I developed a cough about 7 days beforehand. And there was part of me that thinks, it's just a cough, I probably should just keep quiet. And then the news stories were like, you know, you really should be isolating. So I came clean to you, and you were the more adult person sort of saying, no, you're out, Matt. And, you know, I'll get a reserve for you and don't worry. And, yeah, I stayed away from the event, which was quite difficult to do because, you know, chess boxing is my passion. I really was looking forward to that fight as well.
And just on that note, we should thank Dan Mayfield for stepping in for you.
Dan's an absolute star. Did you see his video from today? Just as an aside,
I did. I was going to ask you about that. What do you think of that? There's a poke in the eye for a couple of people in that video. What do you think?
Well, Dan and I will have words. I think the genuine sort of isolation, lockdown, sort of humour comedy video. I can forgive him a lot for that. And to be honest, how mad can you be at somebody when he makes you laugh and smile, as Dan always does? I've got a lot of time for Dan. We socialise often outside of the ring, which is lovely.
It's funny because Dan, I like Dan. I like his persona as well. He's got kind of like an anti-hero persona, and that video really showcases that very well. But he seems to think that he's a good guy of chess boxing. But anyone, I mean, we haven't posted that video. We probably will at some point. But anyone who sees that will understand what I'm talking about. but yeah, so given you've had 20 fights, what's your most satisfying victory?
Chris the General Levy. We had two fights. And we've been talking for years about completing the trilogy. So I think our first fight was in 2010 or 2011. Really close fight. It was really, really close. I was getting beaten in the chess, relatively holding my own in the boxing, but not being beaten so bad in the chess that I was definitely going to lose. I still had chances. It was live and we were running short of time. So, you know, we traditionally start a chess boxing bout with 6 minutes a side. Probably at this point of the bout, we probably had about a minute 10 each. So it was getting quite nervy. You know, we were in the last chess round and I blundered. I made an illegal move. And by the time this was resolved, enough of my time had been ticked down so that I had no chance of recovering. So I had to resign the position at that point or give up or let my time go, however you want to see it. So I felt slightly, I wouldn't say cheated, because it was me that made the illegal move. But there was a bit of controversy. It didn't really end satisfactorily for the crowd. But, you know, we both accepted the result. We shook hands and we sort of said, let's have a rematch. So I think 6 months later, we got back in the ring. I think we both had tune-up fights in the interim. And so I'd lost my first fight to Chris. I certainly didn't want to lose my second one. I came out, I did a lot better in the boxing. I didn't feel I was winning the boxing, but equally, I didn't feel I was losing the boxing. The chess was incredibly equal throughout. So it was shaping up to be an epic bout. So, you know, we went through rounds 1, 2, 3, and 4, and we got to the final round of chess. And unbelievably, we got to a situation where it was a draw. Literally, it was a draw. Not that, you know, one player wanted a draw and the other one wanted to accept, but we literally got to a position where neither side had an opportunity to win with correct play. It was just totally and utterly drawn. So chess referee steps in, adjudicates it a draw, and Tim enters the ring as the MC for that night and announces to the crowd what has happened. Because a lot of people that come to chess boxing, they understand how the sport works, but they don't know the nuances of the rules. And the nuance of the rule is, at that time, it was, if a game ends in a draw, then the decision as to who has won the bout will be passed over to the boxing referee, who will judge it based on the boxing rounds that had taken place. And that's what Timon announced. And going back to being a bit of an extrovert, I basically left my corner and my corner men who I was just chatting to, because we thought the fight was over at that point. And I decided that I didn't want the fight to be over. So I went up to Tim. I took the microphone off him pretty forcefully as well. And I sort of said, I don't really accept that. I'd like to have one more round. Let's have one more round, winner takes all. And I sort of said, you know, shout out if you want this to happen. And the crowd went absolutely nuts. And luckily, Chris Levy's a good sport. And he was like, he gave the sort of the glove up or the thumb up to sort of say, I'm up for this. And we went for it. And so we then had, oh God, let me think. This would have been boxing round three. Either way, it was the final boxing round, and then neither of us knocked each other out, so we had to go to the judges' scorecards, and Ronaldo Dominguez gave me the nod by literally a single point. So
I thought, was this not the bout where you and him there was a foul move? Or was
the foul move was the game that unfortunately ended that
previous
one.
Okay.
Because even though the position was slightly better for Chris, there was still a lot of life in it. But I made an illegal move. And then when the illegal move was adjusted, I would have had to have made another move that was legal. But that move was absolutely losing. So I can't remember if I resigned or if the time just ticked out or what happened. But that was the end of that one. So we've had two very controversial fights. One that won for him, one that was won for me, and we've been talking about the third fight. And I talked about calling out Ipa at the start of the show. The only other person that I think I have ever called out, and I will continue to call out, is Chris the General Levy. The man, he's getting on a bit in age. He's not quite as old as me, but he's certainly on the wrong side of 30. He's been a bit injury prone, and he sort of gravitated towards being a chess boxing commentator. So he sort of feels that he's found his place in the sport, whereas I think his place in the sport should be firmly in the ring with me. So,
I'm still hopeful that we might have a future event where he rips off his microphone and comes down from the commentary box to take part in a bout against you. That would be absolutely brilliant in my view.
Yeah, totally unscripted, even though we're calling it right now that this is what will happen.
We'll script it, but it will be and it will be blatantly obvious to everyone it's scripted, but I really don't think that matters.
No, absolutely. We still watch WWE, and that's scripted to hell. So, I mean, I love a bit of pro wrestling. So, hey, I don't think there's anything wrong with a bit of added drama to spice things up. But I know, no word of a lie, I would love to take on Chris. He is a true competitor, but equally a lovely fella. And I can truly motivate myself to try and get a majority win across the 3-fight series.
Okay. We're working hard behind the scenes to put together a behind closed doors event. Obviously, we're still in lockdown.
Yep.
So we're not going to be having an audience. We're looking to do something sort of pay-per-view.
I'm always in training, Gab. Seriously.
So it's no lazy arms, it's crazy arms.
Crazy arms or lazy arms?
It's crazy arms at the moment, though. It's more crazy legs. I'm because obviously with lockdown, it's incredibly hard to do any real boxing because if the gyms are closed, I don't have a heavy bag anymore. I got rid of mine. And although I've got pads, I've got nobody to hold them. So I do a bit of shadow boxing, but my legs, I've definitely got 3 or 4 decent 3-minute rounds in me in terms of leg. So I've been doing my 5Ks and my 10Ks a couple of times a week. And I've been doing a bit of Zoe sort of fitness classes. So I've been doing my press ups. I've been doing my squats. I've been doing my drills, but equally I haven't hit anything either in anger or just in pleasure in about 3 months. So I'd love to be considered for a lockdown event. The only thing I have is not in terms of reservation, but is I play off the crowd. So, I mean, I think even if you have it behind locked doors, you've got to pump out the whole crazy arms, come on crazy arms as like pre-recorded.
Okay, well, that's fine as long as we can pre-record lazy arms as well. So,
absolutely. It's just as long as they're noise. I think I've sparred before in a closed gym, and that was very bizarre, in that I've rented the gym in the run-up to fights off Lenny at Islington Boxing Club, where he sort of says, oh, yeah, just chuck me 20 quid and you can come and get the keys and keep the place open for an extra hour. So I've sparred Tim when literally we're the only two people in the gym. It's bizarre when you actually hear everything, because this will be a completely different event, because if you ever watched a live stream in the past, or you've watched the live stream after the event, what you will always hear is the commentators over the top, but you wouldn't be able to hear individual punch noises because the crowd drown it out. And I think this is going to be one of the first events where you'll actually be able to hear the boxers almost sort of like wince in pain. You know, you'll be able to hear the heavy breathing. You'll be able to hear the thwack of the glove on the body. And I do feel that is going to present certainly something new and unique for the viewer that they've never had before, make it a lot more gritty and visceral than probably it has been in the past.
Absolutely. So you're going to be, you're matched against the King of Persia, Cheyenne, who you've fought before.
I fear he won't be the same prospect because I beat him, but he came in as a last minute replacement or a late minute replacement because I think the chap I was due to fight was a foreign chap. I can't remember if it was a Frenchman. Was it Vincent or Max were going to come back or a Finnish guy? I think Cheyenne took the fight at relatively late notice. And he hadn't done a huge amount of training. And equally, he wasn't that progressed in the chess boxing world. Whereas now he's had extra months of training and now he's training hard during lockdown. So I do expect the fight to be good, but I don't expect it to be anywhere near as comfortable as it was the last time. Not saying it was actually that comfortable the last time, but I'm expecting a war, and I guess I have to prepare for a war.
Because I thought he performed exceptionally well against Roger Cannonball Baxter last time out. He was unlucky not to get something from that.
Exactly. And, like, Roger's got a bit more experience than Cheyenne. So, I mean, Cheyenne's always been fit. He's a crossfitter by trade, and I've got a lot of respect for the CrossFit community. I just find that they're probably the fittest people I've ever come across in sport. So I'm not questioning his stamina. And now that he's got extra boxing, he's done many more rounds of sparring because I've sparred with him since our fights and I've recorded his other sparring sessions. So I kind of know what to expect, but equally what I expected the last time, I'm expecting twice the fighter to come at me. And he won't go easy. Having seen the Roger fight, he's not going to treat me with a lot of respect, and I wouldn't expect that. So I'm looking forward to that. And whenever it will be, lockdown, post-lockdown, whatever it is, looking forward to it.
So we've got quite a lot of talent, up-and-coming talent, in the chess boxing scene, or local talent particularly. Is there anyone who you are particularly excited about? I mean, obviously, you coach chess, you see the guys every day, every week of training. Not recently, but you've got a good understanding of who's coming through the ranks.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's hard to single anybody out, really. I mean, what I'd like to say is that, you know, there's been a couple of guys that haven't managed to have as many fights as they should have done at this point. So it's hard to really gauge how amazing that they are. I'm thinking of Gerard and Geroid, two Irish local fighters. I feel that they are showing great promise, but they just kind of need two or three more fights over the next year to show that. Cheyenne, I would have undoubtedly mentioned and name-checked earlier. I mean, the interesting one's David Jarmany in terms of our new heavyweight, who, I mean, David is, in terms of enthusiasm and in terms of passion, he is there. He is already world champion in my regard at the heavyweight level. And in terms of his chess, he is undoubtedly there. In terms of his physique, he looks scary. I would not want to meet a man with, you know, he's got thighs the size of double-decker buses. He's got great muscles. What he lacks at the moment is boxing ability. And he's sort of come on a lot. But then again, when you start from nothing, it's easy to show huge progress. I felt he was caught a little bit in terms of when he came in from his first fight that he's just had against Cameron. I mean, he showed heart. You've got to say that. He showed an awful lot of heart. What he didn't show is a lot of technique. And I often find that any person that has their first fight, Roger didn't show great technique in his first fight, and I think he'll be the first to admit it. Yet he shows great footwork now and great punching. And maybe that's actually because not only is he improved as a boxer, but actually he's got more used to the ring environment. And he realizes that actually in boxing, you can't respond to adrenaline. You can't just sort of say, he hit me, I've got to hit him. You've got to be a bit more sort of like, no. You know, I'm going to keep out of distance. I'm going to keep my guard up. I'm going to get into range. I'm going to fire combinations. I'm going to remember what Zoe, our coach, tells us week in, week out at the boxing club. So I'm actually, I'd say that David Jarmany is an exciting prospect. What I'd like to see is a second fight where he shows what he's shown in class, actually in the ring. But, you know, he gets a tip there. He gets a tip of that there. I'd love to see a little bit more progress from Toby on chess, because I feel that Toby is a hidden gem of the chess boxing world. Every time I write him off in the boxing, he just comes back and just not only proves me wrong, but like proves that I'm an idiot and really shouldn't make predictions, because his fight against Carl, I thought he was going to get demolished in both aspects of the game. And actually, in the same way that Carl demolished him in the chess, Toby demolished him in the boxing. And actually, that fight could have easily been won in the boxing. I was expecting a second standing out, 8 count, and he was just unlucky. He couldn't get two or three crisp shots through before the end of that round. So I'd like to see a bit more improvement from Toby in the chess, because I feel that he's got a career ahead of him. And that's probably a lot of my name-checking done of who I see coming through. But, you know, the nice thing is that, you know, our club, whenever we're back in session at Islington, I'm expecting to find, you know, the regular Dirty Dozen coming back, plus the sporadics will want to come back because they haven't done it in so long. Plus anybody that's new that's listening to the podcast or attended an event. I just feel that at the moment the class goes from strength to strength. The event goes from strength to strength and the sport goes from strength to strength. And I think, you know, if people's listening, wherever you are now, mate, I really do feel that the legacy that you've given us and that we can now move on in chess boxing is just, it's just forward momentum. And I think that's what makes me so happy about the sport.
Okay, Matt, we've just about out of time, but I've saved the best question till last. The question is, have you ever taken part in a chess boxing event to impress a woman?
Yes, embarrassingly so. I've actually rescheduled dates to make sure that they can come along to my fight. You know, they sort of said, oh, you know, fancy going out Friday night. And I'd be like, fancy coming along on Saturday evening to York Hall and watching me, you know, toplessly box a rather big guy that I'll knock out. And shamelessly, this is the worst one. I was dating this lovely girl called Ruth, who was a teacher, and she was based in Newbury, and she knew I was training for the fight. So she sort of said, oh, I want to bring a couple of friends along. We'll come and watch you, and then maybe we can get a beer together afterwards. And I sort of said, absolutely fine. And it then turned out that I wasn't needed on the night. We'd got to, I think, event about like about 3 or 4 or something.
This was at Scala, wasn't it?
This was at Scala. And, yes, you
know, yeah, I think I might have been fighting. I know, because I fought you, didn't I? I could have been fighting. Oh, no, I could have been fighting. Yeah, I could have been fighting.
And yeah, I basically begged Tim to put on an extra fight right at the end. And in terms of just putting on the one that was scheduled, I even was cheekily even asked my opponent to make me look good at the latter half of each boxing round.
What a weak man.
It's not a joking thing. I just really wanted to score some really nice, powerful blows right in front of the ringside seats that she'd been given, which was lovely. I mean, unfortunately, the relationship didn't last a huge amount longer than that, but yeah, it was a great fun night, but I'd say chess boxing's provided so many highlights in my life. I don't know where I'd be without it.
Well, Matt, you're a really central character and a great guy. Very much enjoy working with you, and you're doing a lot for the sport in terms of helping out with training, chess training. And I know you're very well respected by all of the guys in our gym.
I know, to be honest, I'm actually looking at my award from last year's award ceremony. I am still the most dedicated chess boxer 2019.
There you go.
I'm going to be defending that for the end of season awards come December. I definitely want that for 2020 as well.
Absolutely, mate. And I don't see anyone taking that away from you. But yeah, all that's left for me is just to say, yeah, thanks for coming to the podcast, of course. That's it from me, the Grievous Bodily Farmer. Thanks very much, Matt.
Thank you very much, Gavin.
Thanks very much, listener. Stay safe, and we'll see you on the next podcast.